Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome BTech Smith and Steve Metz.
BTech Smith and Steve Metz,
you are now entering the MegaCast.
The MegaCast.
What's up, Ted?
Oh, what up, Steve?
Ted, doing great. We're alive. We survived summer meltdown.
We did.
I think we thrived.
I mean, look, it's easy for me to say I thrive, Steve. I'm a veteran. But you came in, Rookie of the Year honors. They're clearly yours.
Yes!
Were there any other rookies?
There was.
Oh, really? So I beat out other rookies?
Oh, yeah.
How many other rookies were there that you know of?
The very small girl.
Yes.
I'm forgetting her name right now. But she was also a rookie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Right. And she had advantages that you didn't.
Yes.
She was a chick.
She was beautiful.
People liked to hug her.
Yes. She looked good in a bikini.
Right?
Nobody liked my bikini.
No. But you thrived down there. That's what I thought was funny today. I was talking to Steve, like, Jelaine, like, yeah. Sometimes, like, I wasn't sure if people liked you. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's all we talked about on Sunday. Everybody in the group would go, Steve, have fun? And I'd start to shake my head, and they go, yeah. Looked like he was having fun.
It's so funny. Like, yeah, this will probably be a short podcast because Ted and I needed to download our experience at Summer Meltdown. We haven't seen each other since.
No.
And I walked away. It was like, it's one of those things where when you're around a large group of people that you don't know, sometimes you overthink things. And then when also, you know, you're under the influence of alcohol and doing crazy stuff, you start overthinking how people view you. So I felt like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I connected with everybody, and I don't know if I left a good taste in their mouths when I left Summer Meltdown. Because everything's such a blur. It happens. Well, 2 days happens really freaking fast when you're just partying the whole time.
Right. Well, now you got to come for four. That's what we tell everybody.
I know. One of the guys, I think it was Josh. He goes, yeah. Well, what did you learn this weekend? And I started getting into like some really like heavy. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, when I in introspection wise, and he's like, no. You learn that you need to be here for 4 days. I'm like, oh, that's what you meant? That's a simple lesson. I agree.
The other thing
I'm like
is,
trying to tell him something deep. Like, you know, I mean, I wasn't too sure if I liked myself by the end of the weekend. I wasn't really proud of my efforts. And he's like, no, you need to come more.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, number one, festival life is just different.
Yes.
And then number two is, I know there's a lot of festivals you can go to, but that one, Meltdown, just has so much going on. Like, Steve gets there Friday, right? Walk up, bring him in, we set him up, and then boom, we go down the beer garden with the mayor and a couple other people, with Chris and Amanda, and we're playing cornhole.
Yep.
Now, we could be anywhere else, but it's kind of fun because there's a band going.
Yep.
We're in the back playing cornhole, start sucking down beers.
Ted and I are still at a disadvantage. We were going to play to seven. We only got to a 3-2 score. Ted and I are down 3-2, so we have to figure out a time to finish it, maybe next year. Maybe we keep playing it until we get to seven.
Yeah.
So it could take 5 years.
But I mean, Friday alone, right? We hit the beer garden. We walked by the main stage a couple times. We went out and saw some of the campsites.
Yep.
Then we came back. There was a happy hour at our campsite.
Oh, yeah.
For Joe running for mayor.
Some stiff drinks.
Then we went back in the beer garden. And then there's a late night tent that we hung out at for a while. And then there's an even later one called Loud Camp. The only time I saw it was with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. I don't even know, like, this was my first true festival experience. I mean, I'm in college. We went to a fish show, and, you know, people were camping at that. We just stayed at the house that we lived at because
it
was that close. It was like a 5-minute walk.
Oh, yeah, and there's the stage in the woods. I keep forgetting about that one.
Stage in the woods, in my opinion, is the best thing going at Summer Meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
Truly. I mean, I blogged about it on Monday. You could go to KSW.com and read my blog. And really, I had a few takeaways, and it was the incredible company the new people that I met. Like, it was one of those things where when I walked away from it, I realized, man, I think I'm just kind of beating myself up. And the funny part was, after all was said and done, I left. I'm like, I hope that I left a good impression. These are Ted's friends. I don't want to come off like as if I was maybe like too quiet, maybe, you know, because I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
So I'm trying my best to like have fun. And when I'm not around people, when I'm around people I don't know, I tend to get even more introverted. But then I leave, you know, connect on Facebook with a bunch of people who I wasn't friends with before. I have a whole new set of friends on Facebook from this. And a few of them sent me personal messages. Like, they were really, really, like, that changed that truly gave me an eye open, opened up my eyes to realize that I'm an overthinker. That's probably the thing I learned the most, because how happy they were to have me there, how much I brought to the vibe. And these are things I was thinking I was the complete opposite of that. So to hear that from those people, I thought was really, really cool. And it was more than just a couple. It was like a handful that made it a point to just say, hey, I had a really good time hanging out with you. And I'm like, awesome, because I did too. And I was just hoping that how I am as a person, which I think if people meet me, they'll realize I'm not so outgoing like I am when a microphone's on, that I don't want them to think that that's me being standoffish, egotistical. You know, I mean, we've had these talks before on the MegaCast, so that's in my head. I'm an introvert, and I always will be, and I sometimes seem like a loner. And to know that people didn't perceive it that way was awesome.
Yeah, well, it was like the first time I went to Spokane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I got so wasted that Friday night, and I was like, these guys must hate me. And then the next day, like, nobody seemed to care.
No.
I remember it must have, for weeks after, I was like, Steve, are you sure? Like, no, man, they like you. It's cool.
Right. They look forward to you hanging out with us again. Yeah. So it was some amount that I'm sure we're going to talk quite a bit about it throughout this podcast. But let's just jump right into the push-ups. Let's get the heart race and the blood pumping and the brain
functioning.
Ted, I'm disappointed in both of us. We did no push-ups at Summer Meltdown.
Are you sure? I thought we did some.
Maybe I'm not. I don't remember.
I thought late at night, that one photo, I'm pretty sure we did 10 push-ups.
Damn it! I thought for sure, for once, I was confident about something. And kids, stay off alcohol.
Right. Stay away from festivals.
Okay.
Was this push-ups for the late night tent?
Well, I decided to jump back into the hip-hop world for our push-ups because I felt like I was the hip-hop influence at Summer Meltdown.
Oh, yeah, not to mention your DJing skills. Steve put on songs and we would just be hanging out that were a little more rock, and I'd be like, I don't know if I'd put this on. And people kept being like, I love this song. Good call, Steve.
I put on the Black Keys.
That's what it was.
That song, the Lonely Boy one. And we had all the ladies dancing. All the ladies.
It was crazy.
So then I'm like, well, I should keep this going. And then I went into, I can't remember, another like kind of indie rock band. And I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. Same reaction. Love this song.
Yeah.
Everyone's dancing. Might have been like the Arcade Fire or something along those lines. And then, of course, we had to do it for my boy Lance. He kept wanting to hear Biggie Smalls all weekend.
All weekend.
It took me about 20 minutes to sit because I was having Bluetooth issues, all this stuff. I go into the camper, and we're all just wasted, and I come back out, and everyone's looking at me like, what are you doing? I set it all up, hit play, and hypnotize, and man, I've never seen a happier person in my life.
Yeah, that's all Lance was looking for.
Right, and then finally, it was funny, because then other people were walking by, and they hear it, and they go, huh, Lance, you finally got your Biggie Smalls, huh? And he's looking at him, and he's like, yep. So I brought a little hip-hop influence as well, and I figured, let's not get 10 to our dude, our man, who's going to be putting on a record in the very near future, AJ Francis, a.k.a. Hi. Frank. This is his latest single. It's available on all the streaming services, iTunes. It's called Olympic Gold, and it's an awesome, awesome song. If you're a fan of hip-hop, I think you're going to really dig what AJ Francis is putting out. You ready, Ted?
Yeah. Are you ready, Steve?
Yeah. All right, let's get 10, Mega Family. I'm
balling, I'm balling.
All right.
I'm balling.
That was kind of fun on Friday listening to some of this too.
Ted,
what?
Last week, remember we had people walk by while we were doing push-ups because we had these giant windows in the new studio? Ted? Hopefully he liked our back. Sir Mix-a-Lot just saw us do push-ups. And I think he's with Ice Cube's crew.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was Ice Cube because I couldn't see in the corner of my eye. Quite possibly Ice Cube also watched us do push-ups right now.
It seems so funny all weekend between Matt, Taryn, Steve, and I to just be like, Sir Mix-a-Lot? Yeah, he's our co-worker.
Yeah, we kept referring to Sir Mix-a-Lot as our co-worker.
I have yet to meet the man.
No, he saw your ass.
Dude, he played the beer garden one year on a Sunday.
That's right, he did do something.
Oh, he crushed it.
We got to talk about Bob Marley and the Wailers, or the Wailers. But let's first get into our TED Talk.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
You know, I just want to remind people this week to dig deep in some topics and do your own research, too. Mm. You know, sometimes you just read a headline or you just read one slanted story and it kind of can influence you. So I think sometimes before you make up your mind on something that you really feel passionate about, just make sure you dig a little deeper and do a little research and know what your point is. If you're going to argue a point, you got to know what it's about.
Yeah, especially these days.
Yeah.
That was one of the weirder things. So we get disconnected from society.
Yeah.
At Summer Meltdown. Truly disconnected. Like, you almost have no cell service. I had enough. If I positioned myself right in your RV, I could text my wife.
All right.
But if I took my phone out walking about because so many people either A, were trying to use it. I don't even think many people were using their phones, but the cell service was just red rotten.
Yeah, I just don't.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So you're disconnected. I spent zero time on social media. I spent zero time reading news sites. It was so refreshing. It was nice to be ignorant.
It is, but it sucks when you get out of there and there's news that you saw that happened last weekend.
Huge news. Like,
yeah.
That was the part that was really tough. Like, it was like, wow, we were gone having the time of our lives while really the nation was falling apart.
Yeah, and that's the second time something like that has happened. I remember driving out of there before and reading about the Mike Brown thing in Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know, it's weird. I'm like, is there something with this weekend, the second weekend of August? Like, what goes on?
Maybe it's just you going to meltdown, man. You're causing the whole world to meltdown.
Well, the other thing, too, is...
It's your fault. It's not Trump. It's not the alt-right or the alt-left. It's the Ted Smith.
It's the Ted Smith going to meltdown.
He's to blame for all of this.
Yeah, put it on my shoulders. They're wide.
Oh, yeah, you know. We got to blame someone, Ted. But you're absolutely right, man. Like, I've been spending a lot of time really... Like, this one, more than any of the other ones... It's just a giant punch in the stomach, and it just continues to be a punch in the stomach, and it's like the more people talk about it, the more angry I get. Like, I've never really, I'm pretty good at letting just things kind of fall off my shoulders and be like, we're always going to have problems, you know, just got to be the best version of myself. But this time I'm like, man, we are not in a good spot as a country.
No.
It's really bad, and it's really sad, and it's, I'm watching people that are just not doing the research, but are just arguing based off of headlines.
Yeah.
And using headlines as sources. And it's like, I saw one today, and I'm not even like trying to at all, trust me, side with anything that Trump said in that press conference that was just pure chaos. I mean, that was such a weird press conference.
It's a joke.
I mean, how do you start it off? First of all, spending time, a long period of time, just addressing economic stuff and jobs. And it's like, man, people don't care about that stuff right now, man.
And it's not real. All right.
Taking shots at the fake media.
Right. Like, the next president's numbers Trump hasn't affected anything yet.
Right.
And that's not a thing against President Trump. That's just the way it.
Good,
like,
or bad.
Sorry, he's still riding Obama's numbers and what Obama did.
And no different than someone was riding Bush's or someone was riding Clinton's.
And the same way when Obama came in, those numbers that were so terrible, everybody said those aren't his yet.
Yep.
Right. Like, this is still because of what the economy had done under W.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. But right, he starts with that and then goes down the other path.
And then I read an article where it's like, you know, I mean, I look, I have these, I was like, oh boy, this is making me roll my eyes. But like, somebody wrote, like, point blank in the story was saying Trump supports white supremacists. And then I read the article, and in the article that has that headline, they even say Trump made it a point to say he does not support white supremacists. I'm like, how do you have a headline, clickbait, of course, but how do you have a headline that says that and then make it a point to verify that he did not say that?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff was just making my brain hurt, and it just shows where we're at right now. We're all about headlines, and whatever headline works to sell an article or make you click on it, I guess that's what people do.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, it's... we could probably talk forever about this, and I feel like you and I would probably see eye to eye on a lot of this, and maybe some people who listen won't. But it just sucks, and I hope that through crap and adversity, it brings people together and opens people's eyes up that maybe weren't willing to open up their eyes. I don't know. Based on Facebook, it doesn't seem like that's happening, but maybe it will. Maybe in the long run, it will bring people together because we needed this kind of a thing. I hope that we didn't need this kind of a thing, but I hope that if it does bring people together, at least something good comes out of it. Because right now, I don't see anything good coming out of it.
Now, we got a break. All I'll say is this. It's just, these are the first few, and people want to keep arguing and fighting about certain things. People are going to die.
Yeah.
That's not being extremist. We've seen it already. People will die.
Did you see... We come
back and talk about it.
You know what? I don't mind.
To work eventually.
Yeah,
so we got to get through.
Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break.
All right.
Make a guess. We'll be back.
It's hard to loot and persuade when you're a robot.
but at least I have a sexy Australian accent. The Megacast will be back.
Was no winner in the last Powerball. The next drawing will be huge. Think of it. All of your dreams are about to come true. You can finally quit your sucky job and travel all around the world in your own private jet. Stay in the nicest hotels. Buy your mom a house. Buy your dad a golf course. All that for just $2 a ticket. Odds of winning 290 million to one. You have a better chance of being killed by a vending machine or getting a hole in one on your birthday or winning an Oscar for best actor or a gold medal in the Olympics. You have a better chance of being hit by a meteor. But go ahead. Dream big, loser. Get your Powerball ticket today.
I wouldn't mind having my eye on their little monsters. The Megacast is back.
Hey, little monster, I got my eye on you.
The Metallica show is that we missed out on seeing Royal Blood.
I know. I'm with you. I was going to say, that's the only downside. That Metallica show was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Funny story about the Metallica show. So for those that were at the show, you got to see me up on stage. Well, everyone, except for my friends.
All right, look, I missed Steve's stage. I heard it from the outside, Steve.
One of the greatest things ever. I'm riding.
If Steve has a major stage announcement, I miss him.
Yes.
It happened years, what?
The Stone Temple Pilots at Bumbershoot.
Yeah, 9 years ago or something.
There goes Ice Cube walking right by. This is so surreal, man. Sorry.
Steve can see him. Yeah, like 9 years ago, I missed that and you name checked me.
Yeah, he even said hi to Ted while he's in the crowd.
And then this one for Metallica, like, I kept going and people would be like, come on, let's have a bit. I was like, I got to get in. And then me and Castle are standing there just listening to it like, yeah, we missed it.
Oh, it was
it
so great.
It sounded loud from outside.
One of them, I mean, I can't even say arguably the greatest stage announcement experience of my life. It was the greatest stage experience of my life because I got to do it in front of like 60,000 people. And you know, our whole staff was going, and I'm like, great, this is gonna be awesome. I was kind of, that made me actually nervous that my peers were gonna be there more than that there was gonna be, you know, 69,995 other people there as well. So I go up there,
69,069,
baby. So I go up on stage, it's amazing. I'm riding high. It's like, what a surreal moments before I even go on stage. I'm talking to Mixmaster Mike because DJing and we're having a great conversation about, of all things, the importance of Steve Largent.
Yeah.
And more importantly, how unsung of a hero Jim Zorn was throughout all of that. Because everyone talks about Largent, but no one talks about Zorn. But in order for there to be a Largent, he needed a Zorn.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. Like, we're just chatting about it, and we look behind us, and like, oh, there are their names on the Ring of Honor. So do that, go on stage, kill it, which was so cool, and it's a testament to the people that were there, how much love they gave back to me.
It was wild.
It was so loud. I actually made it a point to tell myself, stop what you're doing, and I'm about to stop what you're doing and pay attention to what's around you, because you don't want to black this out. You want to be able to absorb how amazing that was. Get off the stage. The label guy, our buddy Aaron, that hooked us up with Chad from the Chili Peppers, is also part of the team for Metallica.
Aaron's a good dude.
And he's like, bro, that was incredible. That was so good. You got me fired up. His assistant, she's like, that was because she's like talking to me. I always say, like, I'm very introverted. She's like, I did not think that was going to come out of you. Like, what the hell was that? I'm like, that's awesome. Get off of the stage. There's our boss, Dave, with the guy who's the president of the management that runs Metallica's business.
Nice.
Warren. So he looks at me and goes, my man, he's glowing. He's like, that stage announcement was so awesome. He's like, of all the shows I've gone to see Metallica and be here for all this, that was the best stage announcement I've ever seen. And he's saying that right in front of our boss, which
that's
is great.
That's awesome.
And Dave already texted me. I'm like, man, I'm looking like a champ. This is great. My boss thinks it's awesome. I can't wait to get to my seats. I'm like, I got a pretzel, got a beer. I'm hurrying to the seats because I'm like, now I get to see my coworkers and my friends. And they're going to be like, yeah, Steve. I get there and I'm by myself.
Like, damn it.
I'm like, oh, they must be getting a pretzel and beer too. You guys start rolling in half in the bag or fully in the bag for some of you. Not you. But, and you all have this look like a dog that just pooped in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
You're all like kind of like looking at me going, hey, man, and I respect that you guys at least said you missed it. Like, you didn't
try to pull it. Yeah, I wasn't going to sit there and be like, oh, it was cool.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, like, you're, nope, I missed it.
And I couldn't do anything but laugh. I'm like, you know what? That is exactly what should have happened in that situation. That's hilarious. That's perfect. But the best part of all of it was, so I'm telling Castle about it because we're standing right next to each other right before Metallica is starting to play. I'm like, bro, you won't believe it. He's like, that's awesome, man. Did anyone think of getting some video of that? And I look at him and I put my hand on his shoulder. I'm like, yeah, before we went into CenturyLink Field, when you went to the bar, you volunteered to be that person. He looks at me and goes, my bad.
That's awesome. Good for you. Yeah, that's you. You were supposed to be that guy.
Yeah, the person who thought of doing it was you, and you got drunk instead. And I'm okay with it because I'm riding high. Nothing can. It was awesome. Metallica was great. Oh, man, that was so much fun.
Mine is kind of getting molested in my seat.
You got molested in your seat?
Did you not hear me tell that story?
Oh, by the dude next to you.
Yes.
Tell that story.
All right, so when I get in there, I'm kind of drunk, right? So we have seats like 1 through 9.
Yeah.
But like seats 8 and 9, like there's kind of people milling around or whatever.
Right.
So I noticed like some people are moving. So either way.
Because
like,
we didn't occupy all of our seats. Some of the people were either running late or no showed.
Right. So I thought we still had the whole crew coming in, like, right? So generally, even like when I sit at Sounders games, we have 1 through 8, row B, section 146, if I had to guess. So I sit in row 8 at kind of the end. So I always kind of post up, like, this is our spot. I'll post up and keep our section.
Yeah.
So I did the same
thing. I'll be the bouncer.
Right. I sat in seat 9. I was like, these guys aren't getting into our seats, blah, blah, blah. So I noticed, and then after a while, I kind of have my back to the guy. Then I'm like, you know what? That's not nice. They probably didn't know, like, blah, blah, blah. So I just finally kind of turn around and just like, hey, guys, how you doing or whatever. And the guy has the biggest smile on his face. Like, oh, yeah. Like, he doesn't say much, right?
Uh-huh.
But then he starts, like, rubbing my arm. And then he starts, bringing his hand, like, a kiss. Like,
oh, I didn't know it went that
far. And, like,
far, putting
him on my beard. And I kept, like, turning away and squirming away. And finally, I just went, like, Castle said, I go, you have to switch seats with me. Like, I tried a couple, and I was like, I don't know what impression I gave this. Like, I can't get out of this.
Right.
Like, I don't want to turn around and just be like, get the F off of me.
And for those, like, that know the terms and the lingos, Ted would have been the chicken hawk to this twink.
Oh, good. I don't even know that one.
I learned that from one of my buddies. He's a gay dude. He's a bear.
All right.
And I mentioned some of my buddy's bands called Twink the Wonder Kid. He goes, well, who's the chicken hawk? And I'm like, what does that mean? And he goes, well, the chicken hawk is kind of like the man of the situation.
Oh yeah, this guy was into it. But yeah. I was like, what? I am not like any house. I was like, Castle, you have to switch seats. And he was fine with Castle. But
yeah, because at one point you walked by me. I think you went to go get a beer. And you go, I got to get away from this guy. I'm like, what's going on? He goes, he keeps rubbing up on my ass.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
seriously,
what?
He was like rubbing my butt, rubbing my arm, rubbing, and I was like, get like. That's what I'm saying. It was close to being like, I'm going to snap on this dude.
Yeah.
And that would not be a good look. Plus, it's like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people there know it's us sitting in that row.
Right. We had a lot of attention.
So me
us.
Getting into a physical altercation with a dude.
With a smaller guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would not have looked good.
And the funny part was, and it just shows how we all are. It's like, damned if you do or you don't. You leave. I'm now next to that guy at one point. And all I could think was, at first I'm like, I'm not in the mood for that. I'm just trying to watch the Metallica show. And as the show's going on, a few songs go by, nothing. And I'm like, so what is it about me that doesn't make him want to touch my butt? So it was specifically you that he dug, because he didn't do anything to Ryan, didn't do anything to me. The weird part was when you left, and I was then in the row kind of by myself for a minute.
What, the hot chick showed up?
Oh, yeah. And she's like, where'd Ted go? And then she just got on her knees and serviced me. It was amazing.
Yeah.
She's like, just pretend you're Ted. No. So you guys all leave. Now his buddy, the bigger guy
He was with a bigger dude, so I didn't want to.
Right. That guy looked tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had that look. Like, he gave off an intimidating presence.
Right.
Well, he now is wasted, and he's using the entire row to mosh by himself, and like he's hitting into me. He's punching the air. He's bothering the people in front of him, and I'm like, oh, great. Now there's going to be an incident, and I'm by myself.
Jesus, yeah, those two guys sucked. Yeah, they did.
They could be nice guys, but they sucked at that moment.
Yeah, and maybe they just got too wasted before they came in. I'm just like, damn. I just, of all shows too, like Metallica, like what is going on here?
Dude, that was an incredible show though. There were so many moments. I don't know if you noticed it too. Like, it really like kind of like brought us all together. Minus, well, maybe brought you and that guy a little too close together. But like the guys in front of us, I didn't know them at first. Turns out they're hockey guys. Turns out they go to the Classic.
Oh, yeah. I drank with the one guy is the one that showed me the locker room of the Grinders.
That's who it was. Because he's like, yeah.
With the hat on.
Yeah. But at first, Castle thought they were jerks because they were sitting in our seats. And Castle's like, hey, man, you're in our seats. They were in the row ahead of us, but that row was more packed. So they were sitting in our row because there was a lot of room at the time. Well, I guess they're all sitting there, and one of the guys turns around to Castle and goes, how are those seats treating you? And Castle took it as like he was getting, like, he's like, what the hell, man? Like, these are our seats. Why are you giving me a hard time for kicking you out of our seats? And Castle keeps telling me how he's like, I'm not liking these guys. These guys are pissing me off. I'm like, oh, yeah, screw those guys, you know? Then, like, 5 minutes later, while Metallica's playing, they're like, they're just high-fiving all of us. They're talking us all
up.
Turns out the guy that was, quote-unquote, giving Castle a hard time was a radio guy in Alaska that runs your show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he works for the station that runs the men's room. So he's when he realizes who we all are, he's freaking out. He's like, oh, I love you guys. I love your station. We love having the men's room. Blah, 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 blah. Starts taking pictures with all of us. And I look at Castle. I go, well, how funny is this that the guys that you thought were going to be a big problem turned out to be our best friends by the end of the night?
Like, yeah.
Like, when they did Seek and Destroy, I swear to God, I think we all had, like, it was like we were at a festival and we're all giving a group hug. Like, we're like, this is amazing. When they play Whiplash, high fives, handshakes. Like, we're getting emotional. But at first, there was this weird vibe between our crew and their crew. And it's funny how Metallica brought it together. And then we realized, why are we getting, people get weird, man, at shows when you're taking over their space.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. And it, right, it's just odd. You want to have your seat.
You know what I want to talk about? One of the things I realized, because festival life at Summer Meltdown was truly a beautiful experience. I think that's the best way to describe it. It sounds hippy-dippy, but in a way it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's in that moment. There's a lot of love going on. It's like a community. Didn't seem like there was a lot of, like, you know, anger. I didn't see anybody get into a fight.
I've never seen a fight there.
And there's like 5,000 people milling about.
I mean, even just like the couple playing with the sand when we were in that tent across from the late night tent.
Yes.
We were talking to them and they were like, oh, we had met here years ago and now we're engaged.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. There's something really special about that community that is created at Summer Meltdown. And if you've ever been on the fence of going, I'm telling you, I was the guy that Ted kept asking for, what, like 6 years now.
Yeah.
You've been telling me you need to come. And I'm like, well, it's so great. Like, I'm sure it's fun, but I get it now. And honestly, next year, I really do hope that I'm not having my radio convention that same weekend, because there's a very good chance that I'm just going to ditch the radio convention. Like, right now, if you told me radio convention or Summer Meltdown, like, you guys learned, send me the notes. I'm going to learn about myself at Summer Meltdown in Darrington.
Yeah. And Rami, we could get you going along slowly, right? Because, I mean, Christ, if you got off work on Thursday and came up, you'd be there at the same time I got there on Thursday when we set up camp.
And if it's the same weekend as our radio convention, I don't have Thursday off.
Yeah.
So it might work out well. Well, anyways, like I said, it was just a beautiful experience. Sounds like people are yelling outside.
I think Ice Cube might be performing or something.
I think he's doing a Q&A with a bunch of listeners from Hot.
All right.
And if you're listening to this on Wednesday, Thursday morning on BJ and Migs at 9:15, Ice Cube will be back.
Oh, nice. You have an Ice Cube on?
Yeah, he's coming by tomorrow morning to hang out with us, which is, I'm really excited about that. As you also, and we saw Ice Cube at a casino together. Like, we love Ice Cube. You more than me, but I still love Ice Cube.
Yeah, we had him on the men's room years ago.
Yeah, I remember he surprised you.
Yeah, and then I went that night and saw him with the Showbox. Ooh.
Brain still not there,
Showbox,
huh?
Market.
You need to do more push-ups?
Yeah.
So anyways, what was I saying? Oh, so everyone's loving, except one thing. Hippies get rather aggressive with screwing with you.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's very subtle, but it's constant.
Non-stop. For example, I show up, you know, and it's like the fun part about being at a festival is so minimalistic.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing jeans. I don't have to worry about putting a million things in my pockets. I think I spent the entire time, minus my one little meltdown towards, I think, on Saturday night where I really needed to wear pants. Like, I had it in my head. I'm like, Ted, you got to open up the RV. I need to wear pants.
Yeah,
like,
that'll happen.
That happened. I needed those pants on. But for the most part, I walked around wearing board shorts or swim trunks the entire time. Swim trunks and flip-flops and a tank top.
Yeah, and then usually you bring, like, a pair of sweatpants for nighttime if you
need them. Right. So we were going to, this was on Friday mid-evening. So I think we were just going to the woods or, I don't remember where we were going, but we were going somewhere. And I'm like, I brought my fanny pack with me. I was like, you know, it seemed like a good idea because I didn't have a lot of pockets. My fanny pack is the WWE Championship belt. I got it off of like one of those loot crate things, and, you know, like those membership things. I spent a pretty penny on eBay to get it because I thought this will be awesome for Meltdown. I'll rock this championship belt. Now we're walking and I'm wearing it and I'm proud of this thing. Everyone in this campsite was loving it. They thought it was hilarious. I'm like, I'm the champion of this campsite. Like, I was feeling good. And we walk by this group of people and this guy, total hippie dude.
Oh yeah, this was after we were playing cornhole.
Yes. And this is a great example of how aggressive hippies get. And it's nothing negative. It's just funny how aggressive they get. He goes, sweet belt, man. I'm like, thanks. Feeling good. I'm like, he likes it. He goes, did you win it? Hindsight, if I was more wasted at that moment, I would have said, yeah, I won it and I'm retired. Or something like that. Something stupid. You know what I mean?
No, but you gave him a very honest answer.
But I thought I should give him an honest answer. I'm like, nah, man, I bought it. And now he looks at me and points at me with anger in his eyes and goes, you're a fraud. We all laugh. I thought that was funny. He doesn't let it go.
No, no, no.
This went on for probably a couple hundred feet. We're walking
by. Yeah, we're walking away, and you can hear him in the background going, that champion is a fraud.
At one point, he goes, everybody, the dude with the championship belt did not win it. He's a fraud. And then his buddies are all going, fraud. And I'm like, jeez, guys, tone it down. Pump the tires. Pump the brakes. I was dying, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
that's I never wore the fanny pack the rest of the weekend.
Because of that?
No, because I just didn't feel like
carrying it. Oh, I was going to say.
It kept loosening. For some reason, it didn't stay tight. So within like 20 feet, it was falling off of my hips. And, you know, these hips do lie. they told me they could hold it, and they didn't.
I think the other great one I just wanted to tell was Saturday's an intense day, like whatever. So it's in the evening time now, and I'm like, Steve, let's go to the beer garden and get like an IPA.
Yes.
Right? I mean, don't get me wrong. We have plenty of beer and stuff at the campsite, right? So what I hadn't anticipated and kind of forgot is that it's Saturday evening. So Saturday evening in the beer garden is packed. So not only, there's a lot of people there, let's just say adjusted on a few things besides just drunk people.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't even drinking alcohol in the beer garden. It was very, I didn't understand that.
But Steve and I get in there, it is crowded. There is like T-Rexes zooming by, people swinging lasers. I mean, it's like
a circus of hippies.
Right? It's not warm out, but we're waiting in line. And Steve just kind of leans over and goes, are you doing okay? It's kind of chaotic in here. And I'm like, I am sweating bullets. And I mean, I'm wearing shorts, but I am just sweating, like drenched. We get the beers. We go over to a picnic table. Yep. I mean, everybody listening knows I love to drink beers. I mean, I don't even know if those things were halfway.
No, they
weren't. And we're listening to the Wailers, like Bob Marley and the Wailers. It's his band. It couldn't be more relaxing. And I go, it's too intense. We got to get out of here.
Right. So, I never heard someone say experiencing the Wailers, who are singing about pot and just, you know, hanging out and legalize it and all this stuff and, you know, living the chill lifestyle. And Ted's like, this music is too intense. We need to go.
Get back to camp. And I was like, those chill vibes were way too much.
Ted threw away his beer.
Right.
That's how Ted never throws away a beer.
I have no woman. I'm about to cry. What are they singing?
I'd like to thank everybody who we met.
Oh, yeah.
That were listeners of the... We gave out several mega hugs.
We did.
The funny part was, as the night went on, I don't remember giving some of these mega hugs, but people would post on our... Like, when I got back to, you know, Puyallup, I went on my phone, and I'm going through social media to see, and there's pictures on Facebook and Twitter and emails and whatever, and private messages. People sending me pictures of us, you and I, with them, and I don't even remember meeting them.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing. I don't remember taking that many pictures. Usually I'm a little more like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? But I was like, it's all right. Steve's here.
Oh, it was great, dude. Yeah. It was funny. I was talking to one of the people that was part of our crew, and I got a message from her saying, hey, it was awesome meeting you, blah, blah, blah. And she even said, she's like, I wish I would have taken more pictures. I'm like, yeah, honestly, like, I fully anticipated with my phone to take pictures. But when you realize you don't have service and you realize also you probably shouldn't be playing on your phone anyway in the state of mind that we were in, I just threw it in your
you
RV.
You did take some of, it's funny though, you took some of the best pictures of our group that we've ever had.
Yeah, I got like a full team shot.
Yeah.
That was awesome at the river. And then we had somebody take a picture of all of us before we went off to the river.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool. But yeah, for the most part, those were the only, and I have another picture of you standing by the Let's Melt Down sign wearing your weird, I don't even know, samurai hat.
Oh yeah.
That thing is awesome. Ted has an incredible hat game at Summer Meltdown. At one point, you were wearing this weird samurai hat, and then another time, you were wearing like this weird, like, I don't even know what to describe. It was also Asian inspired, but yeah. I have no idea what it was. But it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Then I had my standard cowboy hat.
You had your cowboy hat as well. Yep.
I should also mention too, taking those showers.
Oh yes.
I'm pretty sure I heard you get out and go, "That's the greatest shower I've ever had."
It was. I thought I took an hour-long shower. I'm like, man, because I love long showers. I'm like, I feel so much better. I got most of the dirt off of me. It took me, though, about 4 days or 3 days. It took until this morning that I noticed I didn't have dirt in my toenails.
Yeah.
I've scraped them. I've scrubbed them. I've loofed them. It's just you walk around. I mean, also, it didn't help that while we were at the beach, I think I buried my feet into the sand.
Yeah, but feet like that is what we call festival feet.
Oh, total festival feet.
Yeah.
But that shower, I was like, oh. I took forever. I'm probably pissing off all the boys as they're waiting. I get out of the shower, come out, and I'm like, where the hell are they? They ditched me. No, you guys were taking an even longer shower.
Yeah.
I was just in my own head.
You took a really quick one.
But you lose concept of time, man. Yeah. I didn't have my phone. Well, anyways, I know usually we do three breaks, but we got to run. We got people looking at us. They need this room, so we got to get out of here. But I'm glad actually we didn't wind up talking a bunch about all the stupid alt-right crap. It's just,
yeah.
I think we could all agree that it should not be 2017, and we shouldn't be discussing whether or not Nazis should have free speech.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even be discussing the fact that there are Nazis.
Right. People in a synagogue shouldn't be afraid to walk out the front door.
Right. Nobody of any race, any ethnicity, any religion should be worried that their neighbors want them dead.
Yeah.
And that's all. I mean, that's let's just end on a good note. Thank you guys, everyone who did say hi to us at Summer Meltdown. Everybody who said, dude, a crap ton of people said hi to us at the Metallica show as well.
Yeah.
What a great couple of days, man. It's always the Megacast listeners always make my day.
Always.
I don't mean to say it, but I think they're a lot cooler than any other listeners. Seems that way. Could be wrong, but Ted, as last, you could reach us on email or not email. Man, brain's not working yet. Let's do the push-ups and then I'll tell people what to do.
All right. Sorry, I'm getting antsy. I haven't been to work in like 4 days. Like, all right, I gotta get back to work.
And shout out once again to Frank, and that's the cent sign for the C, AJ Francis, for this awesome track.
I'm bowling, here we go. I'm bowling, I'm bowling. I'm bowling, I'm bowling. I'm bowling, I'm bowling. You ain't gonna stop me from getting just where I gotta go. And I got a drip and she wear like she was a paddle boat.
This time Taz starts doing push-ups. Find us on Twitter, that is.
Twitter.
And our push-ups work, Ted. At the Megacast. Next week, hopefully we'll get to do a full Megacast.
Next week I feel good about a full one.
I felt good about this one, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening. Ted, had a great time this past weekend.
Man. We'll see you next year.
The countdown has already begun. See ya.
Olympico. On my pedestal at my pinnacle. I'm balling. I'm ballin', 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 yeah.